listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have Michael Oliver with us today, and he'll have a few more extra minutes than he normally has when he's with me in the first segment. So welcome, Michael, and thanks for coming back.
Always good to be back.
Always good to be back, and it's always good to tell people it's OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com, to sign up for Michael's excellent work. And I don't know how I would get by in these volatile markets without Michael and his work. So, Michael, I'm just looking, though. It's for those of us that are long in the precious metals, today is one of those days when, well, maybe all of the events around the world aren't very comforting, but nonetheless, we're seeing gold and silver really start to take off. It seems like silver is, I have this picture of this submerged beach ball that you like to talk about. Markets, when they're suppressed, they come flying out of the water. Talk to us about silver. Maybe start there, because that's just doing extremely well right now.
Well, it's been building a nice momentum base for quite a few quarters now. And in November, it rallied up to a level that was just actually a penny and a half below our breakout level in terms of the weekly close. And it fell back down. Okay. Everybody disappointed. Then it went back up in January to the same momentum level, not same price level. It was a dollar lower in price than it was in November, but it bumped the same momentum structure and pulled back again, which is great. What it means is our structure is really clear. Uh-huh. And you don't see it on a price chart, but we have a structure that goes way back and on a quarterly momentum. We're through it now. Last week broke out well above it, even though you had a quote. Well, you actually didn't close down. Silver managed it like a half cent up week, but everybody thought, oh, it's a reversal to the downside. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in the weekend report, we tried to explain archivally that price chart reversals can often be noise. Mm-hmm. You make it a high, and you come down and close down on the week, and you think, oh my gosh, it's all over. Well, it could be, but we need to see momentum break something too. In other words, if you see a reversal top or a reversal bottom, you want to see momentum agreeing with that, saying, mm-hmm. yeah, it's time for this thing to reverse. We didn't have that on momentum. So, sure enough, this week, price is right back up to the highs again. And closing there, we closed real good today, up $1.10 in silver, $1.20 almost. And gold's back up into the mid-1900s. So it's looking good. I like that shakeout Friday because it made people think, oh, my gosh, you know, it frankly, it should have shaken out because you've had too many people buying in the Ukraine news. Mm-hmm. And it's my experience, and archivally in real life, that gold is not a war market. Mm-hmm. It's a monetary metal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes war will help create inflation, therefore, you know, it can be good for gold in that regard. But the war event in and of itself is not bullish. Gold's been moving up since 2015 from half the price it is now to here, doubled in price, through all kinds of events and non-events. Was most of the gold advance we saw, in fact, we peaked, remember, in August of 2020 was the last peak above 2000. It was only then, after that high in gold, that the commodities turned up.
Yeah.
So in other words, gold anticipated a commodity upturn. It didn't follow one. And I think that's what's going on here. I think it knows that the central banks are in a quagmire. That there's no way out this time. They can't really lower rates, and if they try to raise rates, there's already skeptical talk about that, even among some Fed governors and ex-Fed governors, about, well, we got to be careful. And gold knows that what that means. It means that the central banks really aren't going to turn course. And if they did, it would collapse certain markets that they won't allow to collapse or will try to prevent from collapsing. So I think gold sort of knows that the game's over now. There's not much the central banks can do except be victims of the events and trends that have already been underway. On silver, the breakout, I'm going to say this, and we said it before. when we got our quarterly momentum breakout, we think that in a very short period of time, probably weeks or maybe even days, silver should go back to the highs, meaning the highs around 28 to 30. If you look at the weekly price chart of silver, you'll see the peak weekly closes. There are multiple peaks for about a year, around 28 bucks. Intra-week highs around 30. So there's a zone up there where there were repeated highs in silver. We think we could get back to that zone very quickly. Now, if anybody wants to check out there and take their profits, go ahead, but I think you'll be skewered. I think the silver breakout is saying, okay, we're through with this year-and-a-half corrective process. And when we turn, we're not going to give you a lot of warning. We're going to go from a pretty low level, pretty high level rapidly. And so if you're off board, you want to get back on board, or you're going to have to chase it.
So we're looking at around 25 bucks now. You think 28?
25.50 area today. Most of today's action. And, you know, I think that getting up to the 28 to 30 zone is not a big deal.
No.
And it will lead gold. Look, today is a good example. In an update, silver's up 4.5%, gold's up a percent and a half or so.
You know, right.
Nice.
Right.
Another thing going on, the gold miners, gold and silver miners, they're all of a sudden gone from anemic to super strong. And I actually saw an analyst on CNBC today, it shocked me, about fell out of my seat, saying, oh, you should be long gold miners. You know, they're asking, where should you be in these kind of markets? And he said they're undervalued, all kinds of metrics, you know, on their own metrics, they're undervalued in relation to gold, they're a place to be. And I think he's right. And it's not a surprise.
No, when you said that, Michael, I mean, I can remember, you know, you like to look at these markets, how they sort of interact with one and another. And, you know, you've been saying this all along, that at some point when the equity markets finally come unglued, people are going to look for places to make money, where to put their money. They're not going to just sit, you know, ideologically in stocks just because they hate gold. If they can make money in gold, they'll run to gold and gold shares and so forth. And it is true that the major mining companies have had stronger balance sheets. They've behaved themselves better than they have during other cycles when they went out and paid way too much for deposits that weren't really that valuable. So I'm very bullish on the fundamentals of the mining, you know, the major miners as well as a lot of the juniors I'm looking at. But Michael, you know, another thing, well, talk to us then a little bit about the equity markets.
An important lesson we just saw. Punch up a chart of GDX, let's say, or XAU index daily. Go back, you know, to January, let's say, into December. And you'll see they were at lows, and they've roared, okay? And the stock market's been whacked pretty good, especially the NASDAQ 100, which is the leader index. Percent-wise, been whacked pretty good. And yet they're totally inverse. Now, you know, if you'd have told the normal scared gold mining investors 3-4 months ago that the stock market was going to dump, and begin a process of bear trend, which I think it's done now. We're now long-term bearish on the stock market. We've broken enough stuff as of the February close. The miners will go down with them because they remember that vividly, that 6 days or so in March of 2020 when finally the gold miners collapsed with the stock market. Now we have the total opposite. So the lesson they learned in that one instance that burned in everybody's memory was a false lesson. And the gold miners now, after having been depressed for, you know, a year and a half, I think they're going to come to life much like silver, and I think they'll outperform gold again. And so the better place to watch gold, it's the mama, but the better place to be is silver and the miners themselves.
Well, now, certainly.
The question is, where are we going? Off the page, I think, because the events that are going on in the other markets are so horrific and tremendous and a technical and fundamental basis that what we're seeing unfold in gold here is not just some normal bull market.
What is how is Bitcoin performing today? I didn't check it today. It hadn't been doing very well.
Well, we think we called the downturn in Bitcoin a couple months ago when it was above 50,000. When it broke under 50,000, we thought it might go to 32,000. Well, it stopped less than 1,000 points, like 32.9 or something like that, and then rallied sharply into the high of 2 weeks ago, Bitcoin now. Then it dropped back real hard last week, which we expected, to test the lows, and it held. And now it's turned back up and is challenging some levels that if it can close not where it is now. It's got to be higher than it is now. But if you can close out the week at certain levels that we specify in our reports, then it looks like Bitcoin's made a base and is going to resume upside. Mm-hmm. However, when we run long-term spread charts of Bitcoin versus gold, relative performance charts, in other words, which one is better? Okay, we heard ads on TV about how Bitcoin beats gold and all that. Well, that's no longer true. Mm-hmm. The trend of that relative performance trend had broken down. It broke down several months ago, and it argues going forward now, yes, Bitcoin could go up, but it is unlikely to match the performance of gold. Gold is now an outperformer to Bitcoin. And to some extent, they're brother or sister because they're both, what are they? They're money.
Yeah.
One is real-world money. It's been around thousands of years, and the other is a, yes, it's an unbacked money unit, but it can't be expanded indefinitely.
Right.
There's a very limit on the expansion of the quantity of Bitcoins or Ethereum. So it can't be inflated at the will of a government.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, it is a store of value. And so both of those markets have something in common, but we favor gold at this point.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it seems as though Bitcoin may have gotten a boost here with what's going on in the Ukraine and in Russia. So, you know, people can't get their money out of their country. They can't get their money out of the bank.
Look, a lot of those events are occurring, but China banned Bitcoin, cryptos. Russia has. But also look what Trudeau did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, right.
Did and
exactly.
then undid. But they threatened to seize bank accounts of the truckers. Well, what did that create? It created in the mind of many people, including non-truckers, that, hey, the government can take my money out of my bank account.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
I need something other than they can grab hold of. Maybe crypto is a good place to go. So there's a lot of those type events occurring that are causing investors to think twice about money.
Yeah, the very basic right to have your to own property, you know, and the socialist governments, these people that are running Western countries increasingly are forgetting that that's one of our human rights is to own the property. That, you know, it's our property, ownership.
So even and the IRS was talking about, you know, being able to access your bank account to see what kind of deposits you put in.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
Like,
and then they can you know, alter your political choices, whatever choices they wish to. I mean, it's a very bad. But so Bitcoin offers that sort of freedom, or so it seems. I can't imagine government, though, not cracking down one way or another.
Well, that's for sure. The question is, though, can they? Because it's become so pervasive now that I think it's sort of beyond their control. Just like the monetary events and the risk of downturn in the stock market is beyond their control at this point, too. When the bubble breaks, it breaks. And central banks can posture all they want, but they're not in control of what they think they're in control of.
Well, Michael, I like to always ask you about the T-bonds, and they're behaving exactly like you predicted. The equity money coming out of the equities, I didn't check the T-bond markets today, but it seems as though...
Last week we put out a report suggesting that the depression that they've been in, the downside pressure they've been in, was base building actually for momentum, and we thought that this week might be the breakout.
And it has been.
A mere indication of investor preference for something other than the stock market. And that's one area they've gone to is long bonds, 10-year, 30-year, that kind of thing. And, and sure enough, bonds exploded today.
So the big question, and so bonds are behaving along with gold today, and have been the last few days. Silver, though, is the is really breaking out because it's been so. Why silver? Because it's been so suppressed.
I think it's been so depressed for so long, and you know, it's also low priced in relation to gold, and its relative levels to gold over the last 50 years. If you look at a spread chart going back 50 years or so since gold was legalized, 1975. Silver still is 1.4-something%, I think, of the price of gold. Going to 3% would be common. Well, that's huge.
Yeah.
3% of $2,000 gold is a huge move, and 3% of, let's say, $8,000 gold is off the page. And I frankly expect it. I think silver is going to come to life and be, in effect, the new Bitcoin.
As much of a gold bug as I am, I, in a way, sort of shudder when I hear you say that, because it would suggest there's a lot of other things that are way out of line with what we've known and the markets that we have become familiar with. But let me just ask you, with just a couple of minutes left here yet, Michael, a couple of other markets. Oil is, I think it's over $100 today.
Yeah, I got the 106.
106. And, yeah. I mean, these things are very unpredictable because we don't know, you know, the supply chains, the, you know, what are the supply, what's the supply situation going to look like? Hopefully sometime this war comes to an end before.
I don't know that that'll affect the big picture. I'm sure you'll have selling once something happens in that direction.
Yeah.
The one market that somewhat surprises me, but I think I'm still going to be right, is natural gas. While oil has exploded, natural gas has been a tight-fisted market since it surged last summer, well before Russia ever put troops around Ukraine. August, September, October, it peaked at about $6.50. It then pulled back under $3 and congested mostly in the mid-4s. Right now it's about $4.50. And it looks to me like you could see natural gas explode up out of this fist of ink it's been in for the last several months, a corrective process, and possibly double in price. We had projected all along it might go to $9. Well, see, look at it, price of oil over the last couple months. They've gone vertical and not natural gas. Yet natural gas is the effectively the nuclear weapon that Putin has.
Yeah.
A reverse sanction, so to speak. You know, put sanctions on him, he can simply flip a switch and shut off the EU's natural gas from Russia, which constitute about 40% of what they need. And I'm sure that could shock the natural gas market, which would
maybe
do what? Would definitely cause recessionary tendencies in Europe, which is already not too doing too well, and not do things, not help growth here either. In which case, what would that do to the Fed?
Yeah, well, they'd have to start pumping.
Are they going to tighten in the face of that?
No,
well,
don't
gold
think
knows
so.
All this.
Yeah.
But anyway,
gold
watch natural gas. I think it could be the late surprise of this entire process that we've seen about Russia.
Yeah, it's just maybe one of the reasons they're not putting constraints on money flowing for natural gas. Anyway, I'd also like to ask you real quickly. I see I have a minute and a half or so here. Fertilizers and grains looking very strong, I suppose.
Oh, you look at a wheat chart, and it makes oil look tepid almost. Soybeans as well; they're going vertical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thunderbolts. They had a nice short. They had a good move between fall of 2020 and about mid 2021. It had a good corrective pullback, which we thought was a corrective pullback. And then a couple months ago, we had enough indications that it was going to resume. And of course, this Russian thing has helped that because Russia is not only an exporter of energy but also fertilizer. Mm-hmm. And planting season's coming up, and if you haven't got enough fertilizer, you're not going to have the same crop yields.
My goodness,
I've seen a lot of fundamental speculation about what it might do, you know, a third reduction in crop sizes and so forth, but I don't know about that, but it's certainly a factor.
Yeah.
And natural gas is used in the production of fertilizer.
Exactly, exactly.
What a
vicious
circle.
Cycle. Yeah, it's quite a circle, and anyway, very, very interesting markets. I guess these are the kind of markets that people make a lot of money in or lose a lot of money. But it's certainly, you know, it's certainly time to wake up and be aware of what's going on. So we thank you so much for helping us do that, Michael. And
thank you,
always a pleasure having you. We'll look to do it again in a couple of weeks from now.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. David Stockman will be with us to tell us why he says that he and his readers are not useful idiots. David will be with us right after the break, so don't go away.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co. Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market. Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.